everybody, and welcome to 2015's Radio Radar. It's a brand new year for the podcast of GamesRadar.com, where we talk about all the big events of the week, reviews and news, and our big old top seven and everything else like that. And I'm your host, Henry Gilbert. I'm here with
Maxwell McGee,
Lucas Alden,
Lorenzo Valoria,
and Ashley Reed.
It's been a number of weeks since we last recorded. Everybody have a happy holidays.
Yeah.
I did.
Full of tinsel and everything.
I was a sleepy guy. Mm-hmm. I napped a lot.
Just slept the entire 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, I guess, well, Lucas and Lorenzo, you guys stayed in, you guys
in
didn't go
Bay
anywhere,
area.
Right?
In the B.A. CA.
In the Bay Area.
That Bay Area.
In the Yay Area.
Yay Area.
Oh. You know, yay means cocaine.
Yes, I am aware.
I was just checking.
That's the kind of Christmas
was,
there
oh, really?
Do I was in that area.
No.
Very white Christmas.
Yeah, you guys.
Huffing
well,
that
you. I know you had an exciting break, Lorenzo.
I did.
Know if you want to talk about it, but you had a fun one.
Yeah,
but
it was cool.
Let's not talk about it and make it sound really like.
Oh, he had a real good break.
I was huffing all that yay.
You were skiing down those slopes.
Yeah. He had a hit and run and
exactly.
Real life GTA.
No. It was only good news for Lorenzo. But anyway, yeah, I think the other people on this podcast, we went out of town. I went back home to Florida for a whole week.
Go ahead, Ashley.
I think we all went back to our respective boondocks.
That's right.
I was going to say, there's kind of a, no offense to anyone here, sort of a redneck vibe to the areas you went back
to. Portland is not redneck.
Well, I wasn't in Portland.
Well, Eugene,
I was in, I was in Bend. Oh. Bend, Oregon, in the desert.
Bend it like Beckham.
Is that where Sony Bend is? Or is that
it
a different?
It might actually be. Like, there's
I'm gonna look this
like,
up.
There's a Facebook headquarters in Prineville, Oregon, which has like 1,000 people in it.
Prineville?
It's the secret headquarters that
Prineville.
No one ever expects.
Sounds like Brineville. That
it's
sounds
like
appetizing.
The worst place in the world. I'm sorry, anyone from Prineville, if you're listening to this, but you know it's true.
I'm going to imagine that Max's place was more rural.
Went back to Batesville, Arkansas.
The Bates Motel.
We don't even have one of those. We're talking Ramada Inn.
Holy. That is where Sony Bend is, by the way.
Ha! I thought so.
They made all the Siphon Filter games. And the not good Uncharted game.
So all the out of towners went out of town.
Yeah,
did anybody actually get snow on Christmas?
I did.
Not. Oh, I'm so jealous.
I got very heavy rain.
I didn't have any weather. I had bright and sunny again.
Oh, no.
Damn it. I wanted it to be terrible.
I got a blizzard. We got two blizzards. And I was one right before Christmas, so we'd had a white Christmas, and then one right after Christmas.
So we were
kind of snowed in.
I miss it.
I left the day after Christmas, so then I just spent I came back kind of sick, and I think I helped spread the flu virus.
Yeah.
Damn it, Henry!
Went and grabbed that flu from the
from the East Coast, brought
West
Coast.
Yep.
And the East Coast, West Coast flu beef.
That's patient zero.
That's how Ebola gets spread, Henry.
That is true.
Topical.
But so airplanes. I missed out on a New Year's thing that was going down here. Missed out on that.
It was low key.
It was good, but it was
House
good.
House of the Dead 3 was played and not beaten. That game is very cheap.
Overkill
on the third.
Or the like.
Well,
no.
It's meant
the
to
actual,
get your.
Okay.
It's meant to steal quarters,
right.
Not be fun.
And the way they set it up is you can grind it out, so you can set extra lives and extra hits, but only after you've failed.
Failed times. Enough, and there's no continue screen. Unfortunately, there's no none
I mean,
of that.
There are continues, but we
yeah,
just burned
like,
through them.
Exactly.
At a
well,
very
then
rapid
some
rate.
some of you guys went and saw The Hobbit 3.
Yeah.
I
that
didn't
was
freaks
me.
With that.
That
yeah.
was me.
Oh, so you
I watched
didn't
it.
Go, huh?
Lucas did not go.
No,
as
I
much as I tried to
shortly
get
after,
him to.
After
so much, so much Hobbit hate in the office.
I have
Hobbit
no.
Haters.
You didn't even watch it. Lucas didn't, so he has no opinions. But
his opinion is irrelevant.
I'm indifferent.
Boo.
I was pretty sick of the. I kind of never want to go back to Peter Jackson's Middle Earth again.
What?
Anybody else's Middle Earth?
Well, I don't know if Peter Jackson
with.
Wanted to go
See,
back. To
no,
Jackson's
he should.
Middle
he kind of did.
It was supposed to be Del Toro.
It should. And
to
it would have been so
movies,
much better
and
with
then it
Guillermo.
Went over yeah. to Peter Jackson. And he was like, oh, I guess.
And honestly, I don't feel like we got much of Peter Jackson's Middle Earth in at least this last movie.
We got a lot of
there
dudes
was like,
getting stabbed.
There was like a square mile, and that was all yeah, that was covered.
A bridge. There was a bridge there at one point.
Yeah, bleh. All right, so. Yeah, we all had a. Sounds like we all had a fun break. Did anybody play any games over them a bit? Or play? We don't normally do a what you've been playing thing, but I actually am curious about this.
Played a lot of Pokemon. Mm. Played a lot of the Omega Ruby.
Ah, there you go.
Beyond Rod.
Christmas, yes.
From the Fifth Element.
Hanging out with my Mudkip.
Weirdly, I actually left games behind for the time that I went back to Oregon. I read a book, like a whole
Whoa,
book.
What?
It was crazy.
On paper or digitally?
On paper. Like, I held it in my hands. It was a hardback.
What was it called?
Oh, man.
It was called Clariel for anyone who read Sabriel. When they teenagers know anybody know anybody listening, please tell me someone read Sabriel.
People in the comments, let
please
let Ashley
What's
know
about?
She's not crazy.
It's about necromancers.
Ooh.
Oh,
it's good stuff.
Necrophilia.
No,
had to go there.
No, Lucas.
I put about 30 hours into Persona Q in 3 days.
Nice.
Well, I just laid in bed sick. I was like, well, I guess I'll just keep
is
playing
that the
Persona
dancing
Q.
One? That was not the dancing one, is it?
No, that's dancing all night,
right,
which
right,
is
right,
one
right,
of 2015's
right.
most anticipated games.
Yeah.
Just eat, sleep, Persona Q, huh?
I kind of...
I didn't even eat.
You can see my... we'll talk about this later, but on the anticipated list, I kind of flexed my edit. My flexing my editorial muscles on that list was to get 5 Atlas games on there.
And, and I support
Look at you
that
go.
Wholeheartedly.
Like, Etrian Odyssey Mystery Dungeon could have been on there, and very well could be if we need... when we. Update it the next time and get rid of January games on it. But yeah, it was Shin Megami Tensei versus Cross Fire Emblem, Shin Megami Tensei Devil Survivor 2 Break Record, Persona 4 Dancing All Night Edition, and then Persona 5. And then, oh, shoot, no, it was just 5, or just 4.
Four.
Oh, no, Henry, what have you done?
All right, but we'll talk about that later. But now it's time for us to discuss this week's top 7, the first top 7 of 2015, written by our own Lucas Sullivan.
Hello.
It's Boo. Very exciting. I really liked this one. And it is the top 7 worst ways games insult your intelligence.
It's weird to come back to this, because when we were doing the top 7 videos, mm-hmm. it would always be... on the podcast, we'd be talking about it for the second time. Mm-hmm. But now I don't have... those old lines to fall back to. So I got.
So what are you gonna do?
Well, did you write this in December?
I did write this before the break, but I think I can still.
I think
rattle
you can do
off.
It.
I should hope so.
I think you can do it. I believe
number
in
seven
you.
Is my most egregious one to me.
All right, number 7.
Pointing out that you can reduce the difficulty. So let me back up a second.
Go
this is
hell.
Basically a list of things in games where it's like. You can see why they would do it, but that doesn't make it any less annoying.
It just makes you want to say, fuck you, game.
You're like, wow, it would be so easy to put this game down right now. Oh, no, I dropped it and stepped on it.
Whoa. So anyways, back to number 7. Pointing out that you can reduce the difficulty. Here's the funny thing. Finding images for this article was pretty tricky because a lot of these concepts are kind of abstract. And there's no, like, no one's going to commemorate any of these things right. by taking a screenshot.
There won't be a press release of, like, we've got this feature in our game.
Yeah. Like, so I was trying to, like, I know I've had a game say, hey, you're dying a lot. Remember, easy is available and you can switch to it anytime.
Dang, I know I have a picture of that, too. You should have asked me.
Yeah, it's often in tooltips, which is not so bad. I mean, it's kind of pointless when you see it and you're doing fine, but when it's really egregious is when you're dying over and over on something, and it's usually for stupid reasons like one hit kills or you keep falling in the same pit or something, and then the game has the audacity to say you're probably too bad to beat this part on the difficulty you're playing as now, so you're gonna you're going to want to crank it down. And here, let me show you how to do that.
You know what game I think did this was Yaiba.
Yaiba.
Which I think would have been our worst game of the year. I think it was like the worst. Well, it was, probably wasn't. No, Basement Crawl was the worst reviewed game of last year.
But it wasn't. Yaiba was still insultingly bad.
Oh, so. Yeah. It's very bad.
Like in our hearts.
The instances where this bothers me the most are in Nintendo games, specifically Mario games, because I like to think I'm good. I'm a very experienced Mario player, and I get extra frustrated when I'm losing at a level I think I should be beating. Mm-hmm. And so when I die enough times for this new setup they've had since, I'd say, about 3 years ago, where just, like, after five or six deaths, they just give you a thing that says, like, here's the invincible item if you want to use it. We won't tell.
You bastard.
And then, so when I see that, it just makes me grit my teeth, like, I'm not doing that bad. It's like, screw you. Like,
yeah, I don't need your pity.
There are ones that give you, like, infinite jumps and invincibility. And so you'd have to be really bad to, like, you could still fall into a pit and die because there's no getting around that. But yeah,
as I recall, I feel like in one of the BioShocks they did that, and I was in a spot where I wasn't quite sure what I was supposed to be doing, so I was just running around trying to figure it out, and I kept getting like sniped, and they were like, "Oh, do you want to turn down the difficulty?" I'm like, "Fuck you, game!
It's like,
fuck you!
Just don't know where to go.
Well, it's just bad design.
Those Vita chambers made like difficulty like not meaningless, but." I mean, you can just keep if you wanted to kill if you want to kill a Big Daddy, like, and you're on the hardest difficulty, shoot him five times, die, like, you'd eventually kill him.
Some of us turned off the Vita chambers.
Ooh, you're hardcore.
Oh yeah.
Number six.
Wait, guys, we should take a break because I might be breaking out in hives from the Reese's peanut butter cup air that hasn't. No, we should keep this in the podcast.
Okay.
But
maybe take
put that away. Seriously, I thought you
from
were
the
maybe
air.
Take
well,
it,
I don't know.
Take it out of the room.
Toss it, and then let's keep the door open for a little bit, and maybe we won't bother people, or maybe we could just pause the recording.
I
thought you weren't one of those types.
No, I didn't think I was.
Now I feel bad for throwing peanut M&Ms at you.
Don't. It's funny.
I mean, you never.
Lucas,
we locked out Max. Good.
Those are candy coated. They have a layer of chocolate and a layer of candy.
Maybe just a little bit. Well, I guess he's got headphones on. He might not be able to hear
us. A lot of people have headphones on. Let's.
Let me take a deep breath of fresh air.
This office is empty.
All right, okay. Oh God! This office is dangerous to Lucas's health.
Suck it out of the door.
Let's get through the top seven. Let's see if we get to the top seven. Number six.
I think you're
impossible to miss weak points. So this is when you go up against a boss and you're sizing him up. You know, the fights, the little intro cutscenes happening or whatever, and you're like, oh, this boss looks pretty cool. Oh, there's a giant blinking red light on what I'm supposed to shoot at, and I haven't even gotten the chance to like actually fight this guy yet.
Mm-hmm. That's Zelda syndrome.
But even Zelda's more clever about it because there's usually a gimmick to getting a weak spot, but at least they let you figure it out. Some games are just like, no, just shoot this area. That's all you gotta do.
You're talking Andross from Star Fox 64.
The palms,
he's got buttons on his gloves for no reason.
Or just everything on Lost Planet. Yeah, like on the.
That's what made me think of it. The Acrids were like genetically engineered to have their weak points be super obvious to predators.
I like the story point that it's just where they're storing heat.
Yeah, it's their heat thingy. That's where all their heat juices are. Yeah,
heat juice. Some animals, that's a thing, but
I don't think any animal has ever evolved to be like, hit me right here and I'll die.
There are some animals who are bred, well, maybe not for that specific thing, but to be like, I am going to make it very easy for you to kill me.
Well, I don't know, I feel like you'd know a lungfish, like you'd attack that glowing thing on its head.
Like shoot the
I thought that was
actually, that wouldn't kill it.
No, that's the thing that lures its prey in.
But then it would die because it wouldn't be luring any prey.
That actually was the weak point for one of the water enemies in a Mega Man game.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, in Bubble Man
In Bubble stage. Man stage, yeah.
Anyways, the weak point stuff, it's like, let us figure it out for ourselves. It's not fun to be shooting an enemy and they don't react, so that's also bad. That's not the solution. True. The solution is to make cues in the enemy's animation where it's like, oh, I hit him in the shoulder, and he's recoiling really hard from that, so now I know where to...
The disorienting thing is sometimes they have those weak points really exposed, and then like there could be like another stage to that boss fight, and then there is no weak point, and you're like, what the hell do I do? And then you just run around in circles until you die, and then look it up online.
That happened to me in Evil Within.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, I was just going to ask real quick. Would you say games like Shadows of the Damned and actually Shadow of the Colossus, where they have those really obvious weak points, but it's only if you go looking for them?
That doesn't bother me as much because it's not like you're fighting other enemies for the remainder of the game who don't have super obvious weak points, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. I mean, that's just the puzzle in Shadow of the Colossus. It's searching, searching
it's
one's body
point.
To find the weak point.
That's true. I mean, it is giant and glowing, but I guess it takes some work to find it.
Number five.
Dialogue lines that demand you hurry up. So Call of Duty is the gold standard for this, I think. And a lot of people remember it as, what was the character's name?
Rico?
Soap. Ramirez? McTavish.
So I always think of Ramirez, but apparently there's another guy in Modern Warfare 2 who's always getting...
Captain Price.
Yapped at. But just the thing of like, that's Ramirez, get over here. And then,
hurry up.
I don't want to. Ramirez, get over here. And it just loops over and over. And the weird part about it is like the level's supposed to be kind of open and you're supposed to find your way. But then the game just wants like, come on, pick it up, snap.
Yeah, and then they have all those like intel things that you go and off and collect. And if you break off from the path just slightly... Like, Captain Price is like, Soap, what the fuck are you doing over there? Come on. Like, don't go after all this intel that you're supposed to be collecting. That's what's part of the game. Yeah. And they get all mad at you and stuff.
I figured that was because those games are made to be like, the campaigns are made to be a roller coaster. You ride. Totally. And, like, on a roller coaster, and I, well, let's pause and just go over there where you want to look at something. Like, they want to push you through where they want you to go.
Yeah. For me, it's like, give me the option or don't. But don't make me feel dumb for picking what you present, like an option that you presented to me and then decided, oh, no, you shouldn't be over there right now.
Go the Valve school of it where they're like, hey, hurry up, Gordon. And then after the third time, it's like, I'm going to shut up because clearly you're about to smack me in the face.
Yeah.
Number four.
Explanations of basic functions. So again, this was one where I clearly had in my mind some game was like
Skyward Sword.
Press.
I was about to say.
Does that
press this button to hide behind cover? Hiding behind cover is a good way to avoid gunshots.
Thank
like,
you,
really?
Game. Mm.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, in any platformer that's like, this is jump. Walk forward, like, though that every game, I think the answer to a lot of these that insult your intelligence is that they're just like, their lowest common denominator. They're thinking like, all right, what do we have to do for the persons that has never played a game before? Like, this is their first game. We need to tell them how to walk and then how to run and then how to jump and then how to attack and just slowly build on it. And some games are more creative than others with that. But.
The solution I like that's come up in previous years is come up to an obstacle that you can't pass without doing some command and then just put the button like on the backdrop. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like A to double jump and then you can press it twice. That feels less insulting than like press A to double jump. It's useful for getting over really long distances.
I think my favorite game, like my favorite way I've ever seen this done was in Portal 2 where he's like, okay, say apple, and it says A, say apple, and you click it and you jump, and he's like, you just jumped, that's not what I asked.
That's
I was like,
weird. That is, I forgot that one. That is a great intro. Hmm. That is awesome. There's this great video I saw on YouTube from, I think it was one of the guys who calls himself the Game Grumps, where he...
Henry, this is pretty common knowledge. Come on.
No, wait.
You mean Aaron and JonTron?
I think it was JonTron. But, well, anyway, it was... The thing I saw was he deconstructed the Mega Man X
opening.
Oh,
you're talking about sequelitis.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, he's one of the guys on the Game Grumps, though.
You're stealing his thunder.
I know what you're talking about. Aaron Hans.
All right,
you're stealing Henry's thunder.
I mean, I'm just preparing you for when commenters were like, I saw that 4 years ago, Henry.
Yeah, I
have no idea what you're talking about.
I also saw this 4 years ago. I didn't just see this. It was a Mega Man X thing where he was deconstructing the opening level and saying, like, how amazing it is at teaching you how to play the game without telling you anything. He's just like, okay, you fell in a hole. You have to do the double jump, the wall jump to get out of here. I guess you better figure it out. And and the layout of the stage makes it clear. Try jumping towards this wall. Oh, I'm sliding on a wall. Okay, jump.
You're in this tiny pit where there's nothing you could do other than jump on the wall.
Yeah, or a car's coming at me. Oh, it hit me. That's what getting hit is. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, that's what the good version of this is, when you make the player feel smart for figuring out instead of feeling like you're just being told what to do.
Which leads us
number three,
to camera pans that show you exactly where to go. For me, I was playing Don't Ask Why, Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Sands recently.
And it's not a bad game.
I mean, it wasn't The Warrior Within.
No, it's not terrible.
Keep going. I'll
Oh, no, please.
Forgotten Sands was really good. It's just 7 hours. Like, and they charged $60 for it, and it was really just like shoved out the door so they could have a Prince. Like,
for the movie.
Probably like 18 months before the movie came out, they're like, oh, shit, we should have a Prince of Persia game for this movie. All right, make another. Let's ignore that last thing we made and just make a sequel, but that takes place before Warrior Within, that sort of stars the guy who's like Jake Gyllenhaal's character. But it's a really fun game. I like it.
Yeah, and I like the return of the prince that everybody loves from Sands of Time.
And if it was like a $10 game, like which probably could buy it for. I think it is worth it. But anyway.
Yeah, it's not a bad game. But what it does have a bad habit of doing is you'll walk in a room, you haven't moved at all, and the camera literally just shows you like, okay, run up this thing, then jump again. Then wall run, then jump to this thing, and then slide down a tapestry thing with your dagger. And it's like, I could have done that without you showing me every step of the way. And now that you've done that, it's less exciting for me to go through the motions rather than figuring it out myself.
Mm-hmm. Prince of Persia is that's just what they're known for. I think it started with Sands of Time just because they were afraid people wouldn't understand what 3D platforming in that style was, because it kind of was one of the first to do it in such a puzzle platformy way. So I can't think of too many other games that, like, because, you know, like Mirror's Edge didn't do that, or I actually do remember one. I think it was in Assassin's Creed Revelations or Brotherhood. They had challenge caves or whatever that were basically just a Prince of Persia stage. That's like, okay, run and jump in to get to the secret rock that has the piece of whatever on it.
Yeah. I
get another
those.
Dumb artifect.
Those were called, I believe those were called the Lairs of Romulus, Henry.
Is that where you got the wolf, you eventually got the wolf armor?
The weird the wolf dress.
Brutus it's like, armor.
This is fashion.
Mm-hmm. And, Zelda games do the panning thing in dungeons a lot. Like when you go into a room with a key and there's a door, it'll pan past the key and then show you where the door is. But, you know, you still have to figure out whatever puzzle is in there.
Or the things you're supposed to hit with a boomerang.
Right.
Here's the five things you hit with a boomerang. Might want to pull out your boomerang.
Yeah.
One of the commenters left a good kind of side avenue to this problem, and that is when you have a camera pan that shows you, like,
close your
a
eyes.
Bunch of rings, and then it's like, okay, go. Like, do exactly what I just showed you, or you're going to fail, and you're going to have to retry. That's not fun for anybody.
It's definitely better. I've definitely, and I mean, some people hate this too, but you don't actually have to use it. Games where it's like, well, I don't know where I'm going. Hit this button and it shows like footprints where you're supposed to
go. Yeah, I like that. Like a soul will just float.
I love that in the Dead Space games where it was just like bloop and then it just showed you the line to your objective. And it works
faces
good.
You in that direction too.
And if you're in a fancy super space station and you've got a suit with an in-game HUD, like, that would have that feature.
Yeah, Alien Isolation also handles it really well, where it's just like, I can figure out where to go, but it's not saying go here and then go here and then go here.
What recent game? I feel like, ugh. Oh, no, it was, yeah, Assassin's Creed games where they're like, track this person down, and you can just do whatever you want, but you really should probably hit the button to see, like, what direction they ran in.
Oh, Eagle Vision.
Yeah.
All right, number two.
Reminding you to take a break. Now, Henry, this is something that you wrote an entire feature on, and it's a darn good feature. Mm-hmm. But the base problem is when a game, you're playing a game, it's been 1 or 2 hours, and the game's like, hey, you've been playing me for too long. Go do something else.
This is a total Nintendo thing.
It's very much a Nintendo.
It's part of the go out and play for an hour like campaign that's been going around. Yeah. You guys heard about that?
Kids
don't go outside anymore.
Here's the thing.
If you guys are kids, stop listening to this and go outside and play.
Or go outside while listening.
Or like this first, then go outside.
Yeah, there you go. I actually heard an interesting perspective on that. Someone was like, yeah, we have to tell kids to go outside because we put all the good stuff inside. If we had all this stuff inside when I was a kid, hell no, I would have never gone outside. Are you kidding?
And it's not so bad to say like, oh, you've been playing for a pretty long time. Maybe you weren't aware of that. And, hey, take a break. Like, that's fine.
Well, I always flip. I'll see the message come up, and I'll be like, I don't have a problem. Are you saying I have a problem?
Yeah. Well, so, yeah.
I can stop whatever I want to.
You mentioned that feature that I did, which was the positive ways of, like, games, like.
Incentivizing.
They don't wag their finger at you like, hey, didn't you have to take a break 5 minutes ago? But instead, But they're also for games that like breed the biggest obsession in people, like MMOs and RPGs that are like, please go away. Like, we'll give you something. We'll give you something if you just go away.
Yeah.
Games where there are real life instances of people dying because they've played it too much.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, you can say it, but just say it once. Mm-hmm. Don't do what Legend of Zelda A Link Between Worlds does.
It's
and
like every time you save,
it says take a break.
I think it's just every 2 hours. It didn't do it to me every time.
That's the kind of message you give someone at 10
really?
Hours, no. 12 hours, 14
I think
hours.
I just didn't save very often.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's
maybe you
the
saved
case.
Every 2 hours.
And I was like, Jesus Christ, this is some bad design.
I feel like 2 hours is too short. It's once you get to like a day where it's like you should have gotten up at some point during
know.
This. Your legs
hours.
Are atrophying
hours.
As well, we speak.
Don't they say, well, I mean, haven't we been talking about this in the office of like standing up and, you know,
every 30
taking
minutes
a pause like
the
that.
Blood flow.
So, yeah,
you
I think
do that when you go
to
the bathroom. When you take a bathroom.
You get one.
I know, when I was
when
a kid.
When you drop it and do some push-ups.
When I was a kid, my mom would put the oven timer on for like a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I could only play video games for that amount of time, and then I had to get up and leave.
Dude, I had to do the reverse.
So it's that. It's like
hate life.
Really?
I had to earn the game time by reading or going outside. And that was awful. It wasn't like, okay, you had your fun. Now, you know, make up for it. It was like.
You just went outside and sat on the porch like, is it an hour yet?
You constructed a Game Boy out of bark and rocks and
I would
played it sadly.
Read a book in bed and then force myself to fall asleep just so that time would pass quicker.
Aww.
And then I could be like, oh yeah, I read a chapter with my eyes closed.
I kind of had that system too, but I would actually stop the time because I had a little egg timer. I would stop the timer during load times. So like every 2 minutes, I was stopping the timer.
Man,
it worked out well
doesn't
for
count.
Me.
That's what it's
playing.
Like to grow up in load times.
I know. I didn't have load times. I just had Contra. Go. Seven levels. I beat it in 15 minutes because I had only 30 minutes on that oven timer.
That is kind of a raw deal if you didn't count. Like if you were playing Final Fantasy VII just like kept having to reload and you say,
or watch
like,
a cutscene.
Mom, my save didn't load yet.
Or like
that must
your parents
suck.
Want you to go somewhere and the cutscene won't end.
Oh, yeah. Oh no. Yeah.
We can't go
yeah,
yet.
You're playing Metal Gear. Man.
I would just leave the system on when that
I
happened.
Think the worst
you're
thing
you're gonna miss what happens.
Yeah. That freaking thing, they advertised it once on TV where it basically was a timer that was in the plug and it would shut the plug off at a certain point. Mm. And it would basically be like give you a warning, but it would only be like a 5 minute warning. So if you can't find a save point and that your system's plugged into that thing, that's literally hell. It's like that is torture. Why would you do that to your child?
That's stuff done.
Number one,
telling you what to feel. This one I thought about. Actually, you kind of helped me figure this out. But this is the most insulting thing a game can do. Because even if you're bad at a game's mechanics or you just can't beat a certain fight, you can still figure out, like, oh, this character's sad. And I feel sad because they're experiencing a loss. And that makes me feel sad. When a game's like, okay, feel sad now. And then you press F to pay your respects by putting your hand on a coffin. That just falls so flat because it assumes that you, you know, you couldn't figure out that you're at a funeral and it's sad because your best friend.
Robot.
Yeah.
It's like we could,
if we don't tell you how to feel here, you're just going to be out of control.
Basically, the game could not put the time in to actually create something that would give you an emotional reaction. So
right.
It's like, I'm going to just tell you how to feel so then we can move on and I don't have to worry about this doing, like, making a good game thing.
Yeah. So, like, with Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, which is the most recent example of this, when the best friend died in the first mission?
Spoilers!
Spoiler alert.
I
was like,
on the back of the box.
This character literally only existed for it to be like, oh, this is my friend. Oh, he's dead. Oh, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all that was a setup to, and here's Kevin Spacey.
Well, I mean, movies are guilty of that all the time, of like just the start of the film, the cop meets the other cop. He's just like, I've been at this for a long time. I
retire tomorrow.
Yeah,
I sure love my wife. You need to learn how to love somebody too, yeah. Just like me.
You can, I love how you can always tell, like in war movies, the soldier who like has a family and is like focused on his family is like, that guy's gonna die.
I can't wait till my baby's born tomorrow.
We made it.
Oh,
we
it's a boy.
We made it.
Ah.
Yeah.
That was that great character in Hot Shots. That was just a parody of Goose, who was just like, I have a winning lottery ticket. I figured out who killed JFK. Like, we got to do this test thing first, but man, when I get back off. Yeah.
Another bad example is Metroid Other M, where Samus is constantly telling you, and then I felt this, and then I felt that, and then I felt this. Like, let us figure it out. Narration is fine. But like,
try some facial expressions.
Show,
maybe
don't tell,
some.
And maybe we'll care more about what's happening.
Exactly. This one's definitely the worst for me. This is the one I actually. The others, like, I get annoyed, but this one, I'm like, I'm putting this game down and I'm not coming back because this is bullshit.
F it. So those are the top 7 worst ways games insult your intelligence. You can read all about it on GamesRadar.com if you so please.
And that's every Monday when we post a new top 7. And also, you know what? I want to do a preemptive plug. We were talking about this earlier this week. Let's talk about the streams, because we have been doing a lot of streams and people should know about them.
Yeah. So
do
we
do it
stream,
early on.
Yeah, we'll do it early on. So
when
everybody
they least expect it.
Everybody hears. So we stream every Monday from 4 to 6, every Wednesday from 3:30 to 5. And on Wednesdays, we give away all kinds of prizes like games and controllers
Sweet
and
chargers.
Whatever other things.
People have won
maybe
good
some
stuff.
Yeah. Like, I've given away hundreds of dollars worth of prizes.
It's true.
Honestly.
Just last week, yeah. So if you guys are interested in watching some, unreleased games sometimes, import games,
we do
new
all kinds
releases,
of
all kinds of stuff, so, check us out on Twitch at twitch.tv/gamesradar.
Sure.
And we're going to be having more streams coming, so
and
there's
that,
the
So
the
and that's what, Mondays at 4 Pacific?
Mondays at 4 Pacific time. To about 6 o'clock, and every Wednesday from 3:30 Pacific time to 5.
And if that URL is too tricky to remember, just type Twitch Games Radar into Google. Yep. You will find
it. It'll be there.
I speak from experience.
If you subscribe to it, I guess you'd get updates when we went live.
Yeah.
Follow us. Yeah, follow
really
us.
Convenient.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the news of the week, and, well, not really any reviews because it's the start of the year and nothing's come out. But hey, lots of big news. We'll see you on the other side.
Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar.
And we're back! How you feeling, Lucas?
I'm good. I think honestly, I'm sticking around for the topics we're going to talk about here because I'm excited.
You can tough it out.
Well,
right?
I think the listeners just wanted a health update. I was thinking, so.
Yeah, here it's the roof of my mouth, and I'm thinking like maybe I just It was that Wingstop.
Did you?
Are you
did
sure you didn't you, kiss Max
passionately?
Do they use peanuts?
You're
sauce?
Going to no, kill no. yourself.
I apologize in advance if I assassinated you.
No, no. I well, it's weird that in all
someone could kill him.
Check out this Reese's Pieces here.
Like a spy,
wrong way to eat this.
Like a spy, a seductress spy, Femme Fatale could poison Lucas.
Yeah,
just by eating a peanut butter sandwich
it,
immediately before.
Just rubbed it right
well,
on his
just,
lips.
Rubbed it on her gums. Or yeah.
We've never had that situation in all the many months that, A, we've done podcasts, and B, there have been Reese's Peanut Butter Cups readily available in the office.
No one's brought one in this
I
tiny
guess
room.
We've never had an enclosed.
Jan does enjoy them, and she sits right next to you. Like,
it's true.
But it isn't a big open area, and there's a wall there, so.
There's room for dissipation, whereas here, where it's an enclosed space.
It's concentration.
All right, so the news of this week, I wanted to start with the funniest one, I thought, the chicken hats in Metal Gear Solid 5.
Speaking of games that insult your intelligence.
Yeah. Oh. So,
can I lead into this with a story of my own first?
All right.
So over the break, I was playing a little Metal Gear Solid.
Ooh.
And
ooh,
I
which
played
one?
The first one.
The OG.
Okay.
So here, for the record, I have played Metal Gear OG also. I skipped two.
Twin Snakes.
You played the MSX version or NES?
I played the MSX version, which was included with Subsistence.
Ooh. Yeah.
All right.
And...
skateboarding.
Good so deal. I was playing MGS on PSN, and I kicked it down to easy. And I suddenly felt a pang of shame. And I was like, does this make me a scrubnub? Like, is this pathetic? All I really want to do is experience the story. And yeah, I want the gameplay, but I don't want to be hitting any roadblocks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I put it to easy.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know what to do going into Metal Gear Solid 2. Like,
you're going to have more trouble with 2, honestly, like, because there are some really challenging, like, hide-and-seek things in there. Like,
then I feel like I'll play it on easy because I don't want to be going, what am I supposed to do? This is frustrating, ever.
Well, in, like, Metal Gear Solid 2, you'll end up hiding under a great thing or, like, under some kind of furniture for, like, 5 minutes just sitting there waiting for people to move around. So, you know... I understand in stealth games doing it easy style, but, you know.
Well, it's more like if the story's so good that you never want to be forced to interrupt the flow of that story because of gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, I love Metal Gear's story, but I do think the gameplay is also awesome.
No,
Metal
it's really
games.
Good.
It's like, pretty good, yeah.
I know that when you asked me this question and Jan and you were like, does that make me a scrubnub? I was gonna be like, yes, you suck. But
Ashley
actually,
looks down on you.
No, I'm gonna take that back, and I will say, if you just want to play for the story, then I don't really see anything wrong with knocking it down.
It's not like Metal Gear is very difficult either.
Well, it's like each boss is a puzzle, not a fight. But I never want to be like, I solved the puzzle, but because I didn't have a ration here, I died anyway.
Like, I mean, that's going to happen. Yeah, that does happen. So this was kind of a troll what Kojima did, actually. They gave more information about it today or in the last 24 hours. But over the break, he actually teased this the first time. He had like a big holiday stream for Japan only. I was like, all right, I'm going to show you a cool new thing for Metal Gear. And it was like the same demo he'd shown before of Afghanistan. And then at the end, he's like, here's a chicken hat. Bye.
God. That's been him for the last year. Like, I'm going to show you something.
The box?
Was it Gamescom? Yeah,
oh,
he like
no,
showed
the sexy lady box. Yeah.
He showed up to show that, and actually he'd shown up to be like PT, but he didn't tell anybody. So we thought he was just there
PT
for boxes.
PT was so awesome because he was like he did not associate with PT in any way. So that's why it was great. But yeah, the chicken thing, it's not even that it makes the game easier in that apparently the soldiers see you as a chicken. Like, oh, they just see you as wildlife, which they don't do anything to in the level, so yeah. You just walk by them.
It's like apparently if you're in front of them, they won't do anything. If you stand there for a long time, they might recognize that it's you.
Like, why is that chicken looking at me for the past hour?
But it's not like the invisibility suit in Metal Gear Solid where you could just do anything and right. They,
yeah.
But
I think
you can stay C4 on their back. That's the best part of it.
I think they're taking I mean, it seems like a big, easy thing to do for us. But after playing Ground Zeroes, like, it is when they drop you into such an open world, and like Afghanistan looks to be like 10 times the size of the level in yeah. Ground Zeroes. Like, you are kind of left asking yourself, like, wait, where am I going? Like, there's going to be a lot of trial and error in that, which I'm really looking forward to. That's yeah. why it's one of our most anticipated games of the year.
That's what made me go back.
I'm so hyped for this game. I went back. I haven't been following Metal Gear Solid 5 really
same,
at all.
Same.
And over the vacation, I was just watching some gameplay videos and the demos mm-hmm. that they were showing. They showed the one where he went to this jungle and you could call the sniper chick who's just like wearing a bra and panties, basically.
But oh,
like,
quiet. Yeah,
quiet,
yes.
yeah. But she like helps you out in your mission. She like jumps around and covers you like and spots people
like
for
a
you.
Real,
yeah. And she's like a partner,
like a real
awesome.
Sniper.
I'm like, oh shit, I'm totally in.
I do love that when you get in-universe explanations for some of these things, like, well, they just think you're a chicken. Or one of the ones that I heard, someone was explaining the whole parachute thing where you just, like, pick something up and it carries it off. And they explained it, like, Big Boss just kind of does that sometimes for fun. He just, like, likes to attach parachutes to things. And for some reason, that made it 10 times funnier just to
I really hope that
it.
Does come out this year. It's I think they can get it out by November. I don't know. We'll see. But
so then, is the chicken hat like an item you get for
yeah,
playing
you
in
wear
easy
it.
Mode? Can you take it off?
I think
do
it's
you get it
easy
from
mode,
the start?
Or is it?
I think it said if it's one of those die enough times, they're like, here's a chicken hat
oh.
if you want it.
It like,
so
shows up in your inventory.
That,
yeah,
something.
That's a slap in the face.
So you don't have to use it, but it's just in your inventory.
Taunting
they're
you.
Calling, it's ca- they're calling you a chicken head.
Yeah. Well, also, one of the interesting things is that you only have, like, in the Afghanistan stage, you can, like, you're get you after 5 days, you fail. 5 in-game days, you fail. But,
oh,
like,
really?
If you, but that also, like, there's a day night cycle, and so that's how guards change shifts. So, if you want to get a better shift of guards, like, you can make time go forward, which is him smoking. Like, he'll smoke, and then, like, time will just fly forward.
And
so
it's an e-cigar.
Premonition. It's an e-cigar.
Oh!
Which existed in 1984.
Apparently. Yeah, apparently.
Whatever.
It's got hologram smoke.
I'm over it.
The e-cigars now don't even
that's
have hologram
awesome.
Smoke.
I'm wondering if that's just what Kojima's moved on to, too. Like, he's yeah. just started with his own vape. He's been vaping lately, and he's like... Well, because that's what... this was a tip I'd heard about, like, at, you know, smoking in offices, at least my experience in American offices and my friends, like there are fewer and fewer smokers all the time in American offices. Like it seems like people even like have smoke breaks here. I think it's like Tyler Wilde and like,
that's the
one
thing.
Other
like
person.
There used to be the area in the garage where people chilled, and I don't think anyone does that anymore.
Well,
Tyler just
some
smokes
of them are still just
desk.
Vaping. Yeah, they're vaping all the time. But in well, meanwhile. I'd heard in Japanese offices, like, if you wanted to, like, I heard this story from, like, two different producers in interviews saying, like, well, the way I was able to move up the ranks and, like, suggest ideas to the director was I started smoking and hung out with him in the smoking room and could tell him, you know what, I think
had
would
their
make
ear.
This better. Like, yeah.
Could you imagine working in an office where it was legal to smoke, like, in Mad Men type days? I was watching that show. I was like, oh my god,
that would be awful.
The air must have been
everything
horrible.
Like, smoke.
Like everybody's just coughing all the time.
Well, but everybody was smoking, yeah, so they no. wouldn't be. They probably look at you weird. It's like, you don't smoke. What are you, yeah. some health nut? Get out of here, hippie. All right, let's move on to another news story, which is that the new 3DS is on its way in Europe.
Ooh.
Which, so I gotta say, Nintendo, I don't think has been handling the new 3DS all that well as a global company, that they seem to assume people in other regions can't communicate with each other.
It's all closed
it's
off.
Long time.
So they put out in September, they got the new 3DS in Japan and they announced it. They only announced it for Japan. And like Nintendo of America, I don't think has officially commented on it in any way. Europe said it would be coming in 2015. In both cases, it seemed obvious that like they just wanted to sell regular 3DSs through Christmas and then announce a new
cash
system, which
later.
Is a real burn to any parent who bought a 3DS over the fall, over the holidays. But so now, in an even more baffling way, like I figured they'd announce it for Europe and America with a big Nintendo Direct that it'd come at some point in January. That was my guess. And instead, people who are Club Nintendo members in Europe just got an email that, like, if you want to buy a new 3DS right now, like, here, go right here. And it's cheaper, and you'll get a faceplate that's for ambassadors. Just do it. And, like, Nintendo of America still hasn't announced it yet.
You're still just bitter that you haven't received said email. But
well,
you will, Henry.
No, I think, also, I think Club Nintendo is garbage in America now. Like, they don't offer anything in their physical rewards or going out of print because they haven't been making more of them.
Coming from you, that says a lot.
Well, that also comes from jealousy. Like, I've seen awesome Club Nintendo rewards in Japan and Europe, and then America's like, you can get a free eShop game with your coins, which isn't nothing like that, and that's actually like more useful to gamers than Zelda posters. Like, I'm not 12, I don't need Zelda posters. But
excuse you.
Come on,
Zelda poster elitist.
Somebody here might have a Zelda poster. You don't know.
You should at least frame it if you've got a Zelda
poster. Oh, my posters are framed.
Okay, all right.
I'm an adult.
But I saw Japan, they had like this 8-bit looking Mario throw pillow. Like, that's more useful. Or in Europe, they had like a life-size replica of a Mario Kart gold trophy, like the kind of trophy you'd win.
Oh,
and like
life-size.
That's awesome.
Well, I mean like a foot tall. But okay. Like, that's probably how
it's
big
it's sizable.
Would be. But anyway, but America didn't get any of those things. And so it's just, yeah, it's
frustrating.
Can
it's you, like, transfer your Club Nintendo points to a foreign account?
No, it's region locked like everything else in Nintendo's.
For
well,
once.
Actually, Amiibos are not region locked.
Oh, that's true. I remember hearing about that.
So you can buy a Japanese Amiibo, which they are actually available. Like, I saw an hilarious picture today, which was, this guy took a picture of the Amiibo station at his local store that had, like, I don't know if you've seen where they sell Amiibos in, like, Walmart or something. But
yeah.
It's got
the
a big
Skylanders
video
area.
Screen. Yeah, it's by Skylander. It's got a big video screen that's like, what is an Amiibo? And it just it explains it to parents. But there, since they were sold out of Amiibos, it's just Skylanders. Like, the store just
put
the Skylanders toys there. We're not going to have empty shelf space.
And the parents are like, I don't remember Mario looking like a purple dragon.
Yeah. I actually do remember going back. And they didn't quite do that, but I do remember I went to a Walmart when I was in Bend, and I saw that they had the codes for Villager, Wii Fit Trainer, and Marth, and I was like, maybe. So I called one of them over, like someone over to scan it, and they scanned all three, and they're like, no, we don't have them, and we're not getting any more. I'm like, geez, you don't have to be so aggressive about it.
Why is Nintendo not immediately making a bazillion more of these?
Because
all right, well, you say what you were
they don't like
I was
going
to say, because I can foresee them someday in the future being like, we're releasing a select amount, a very small amount of these, and we're going to charge three times
like
as much
the vault.
For them.
We're taking them out of the Nintendo vault. Yeah, that's
exactly.
What I was going to say.
I've been looking into this for a feature, actually, but one Nintendo representative apparently anonymously has been quoted saying that Nintendo is having a Disney vault approach to this of like, maybe we'll make more Marths. Who knows? But the situation I think it is that it takes a very long time to make toys. Like for Nintendo to make a game, like they need cases and then to print a cover and then make a disc. Like that doesn't take long. To make individual toys, you have to make your order months and months ahead of time. And Nintendo is a this is all my conjecture. Nintendo is a conservative company that doesn't want to make too much of something. They'd rather have to be sold out than have excess copies of something. So then they look at what's their lineup. They are going to make the same amount. They're going to make the same lineup of toys for every country, but they figure kids in America don't want Marth or the Wii Fit Trainer. Like, we should just make a few of them, and we'll hopefully sell through them. We'll see. Like, and clearly they didn't think like Amiibo.
They
was
don't understand.
Be successful.
They don't understand American materialism quite
but,
like they should.
So now I think they're just in a tricky situation, which is they're producing more of the next wave figures, but if they want to go back to wave one, they have to make more, and then. Can they be sure Amiibo in 3 to 6 months will be as popular as it is now? Or will they then be in the situation they wanted to avoid, which is they have too many of something and they're not selling? Like, so It's tough for them. It's tough.
Well, it feels like a Disney thing where it's like no matter how many they make, how could they not sell at this point?
Mm-hmm. Well, though, I mean, you'll still see, like, they did make too many Marios. You'll just see Mario ones on the shelf because they – probably because they made, like, 10 of those for every Marth. Like,
so basically they did what they didn't want to do. They just picked the wrong characters.
I think they assumed kids would most want Mario and Pikachu. I think they underestimated that. What people would want is all of them because they're – it's adults buying these and they have $200 to spend.
That's what they did wrong. They picked the wrong audience. They thought they were selling to children.
There are grown-up audiences for Skylanders as well. That's why you can sell Skylanders at a huge markup on eBay as well.
That's why they sell so well, because the dads get so into Skylanders because they're like, I could play video games with my kids and collect all these things. And it's totally acceptable because the kids also love them.
I love it.
I'm going to do that.
I'm happy to say for Amiibos, I have ordered Sheik. She is coming. She is mine. Yes.
But, so yeah, back to the new 3DS. If Nintendo of Europe is already jumping the gun on selling it to their people, Nintendo of America has to announce it soon. Like, it's got to be very soon. Like, that is my expectation. But, all right.
I mean, they'll defy your will. We're going to keep having this sort of conversation for, like,
we are.
Decades. I want to say that, like, I'm sure Nintendo will eventually realize that, you know, globalization is a thing.
The internet.
Market now, and they're But God, like in 10 years.
In other news, the birth of my third child.
All right, then what? Tony Hawk, an old man named Tony Hawk, said he'd be in a video game this week.
Oh, what a nice old guy.
Mother freaking Hawk.
The senior citizen, Tony Hawk.
Wait, how old is he now? Like 50?
Well, that's the thing. For like skaters, I'm gonna it look seems like 30 is like 50 because skaters,
I mean, that's
all
when
about
he
attitude.
When the first Tony Hawk game came out, like, he was already talking about retirement because he had turned, like, he was in his early 30s.
The 900?
He was going to walk off into the woods and die like a cat.
Okay, so how old do you guys think he is?
42.
48.
I think he's early 40s, like 43.
43, 48.
I'll guess 51 then. Just
51.
42.
It is 46.
Ooh!
He will be 47 on May 12th.
You went over the Price is Right rules. You
yeah, that's true.
I won.
Yeah, he was closer to
that. Actual
going
retail
over
without going over.
But anywho, so
here's
the
thing about Tony Hawk.
All right,
number one, I saw that he's on an episode of Comedy Bang Bang, but I haven't watched
Comedy
it yet.
Comedy Bang Bang.
So
I haven't seen that either.
Secondly, it's hard to get excited for a Tony Hawk game in this day and age, and maybe I've just been burned. Because
the series has basically been dead for a decade. Like,
it's
I didn't
like
even play Ride. Like, I knew that was going to be freaking garbage the second I saw the board. So it's not like I got tricked by that or Downhill Jam, that bullshiz. Like, I knew that was going to be bad. I had already thought the series was going downhill after 4 because they kept trying to add.
They went
gimmicks
downhill later in the Tony
Downhill Jam. Yeah. Heyo, but it was like first you can get off your board, then you can like
walk around
and
well,
like,
were, like
drive a car. Yeah,
segments and stuff, and like then they introduced that whole like Johnny Knoxville jackass like bad attitude.
Well, Bam Margera was in 3 and 4, and it,
once the Viva La Bam cast came in, I was like, enough of this.
I didn't mind it because it was funny to like do a shopping cart luge for like 5 minutes in an 8-hour game. But when the whole game revolves around Bam Margera, you get a little bit sick of his shtick.
And his fat dad. You're tired
you're basically
of him.
Saying
it burned, you've been burned too much.
Right. And then, so Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD rolled around, I think, 2 years ago. And I was.
You were ready to give it another chance.
Yeah, I was ready to give another shot. And, I mean, this is my opinion, but what those games were to me is like they give you less of the original game and try to justify it with slightly modernized graphics. Mm-hmm. And that's not a decent trade-off when you're cashing in on nostalgia, because you want the whole thing improved. You don't want like sacrifices made so that you can get a downloadable game.
It was a weird business move by Activision. Like they were getting too experimental with it, which really like they're hanging on to their Tony Hawk audience by a thread at this point. Like after they tried to sell people plastic skateboards. Like, they should be happy anybody wants to buy a Tony Hawk.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, Skate seemed like it was going to take the throne. They had three games, and then it just kind of went away.
Well, I think it did take the throne, but controlling that throne wasn't worth it to EA. They're like, this doesn't make enough money to be worth being the best skater. Like, kids are tired of virtual skating games. So
yeah, it's not like X Games generation anymore. Nobody really cares about skateboarding.
Nobody's watching that on ESPN3.
They need to get kids. They need to encourage kids to spend time outside for an hour every day on commercials.
Maybe
now,
if they had
not doing destructive things.
It's not the same.
What if we do like a team-based skateboarding game where you have two groups of five and there's like these different lanes you can skate down?
And there's creeps. There's little kids skaters.
There's little kids
there's rollerbladers.
And every skater has a different power.
So
I will say, sorry, I was just going to say, I didn't play too many skate games, but Skate is definitely my favorite just because it has the best crashes. And
I gotta watch that glitch
stupid
video.
Glitches.
They have the best glitch videos. They really do. Or some of the best. Like, Madden has some pretty good ones too, consistently. But I did look this up real quick about Tony Hawk that he, you know, he basically made, he didn't make Activision, but he was definitely their first big star. He was their first giant franchise. And as part of the franchise loop that Activision is in of having a great franchise, they then run into the ground and then replace with the new crop.
Nosedive into the ground.
It was such a big deal that like Activision signed him to a giant contract, which is why they're still making Tony Hawk games. And this was, I wondered how long it was, so I just looked it up. And this is a news story from 2002.
until Death Do Tony Hawk Part.
Which, by the way, like that's something I'm really think is interesting now that we've game news has been online for so long that you can actually go back to like this news post from 13 years ago says like it's pulling up old newspapers, but about
anytime you want.
So this was from GameSpot, written by Justin Calvert, back in July 24th, 2002.
Working at Wargaming now.
That he got signed, Tony Hawk got signed to a deal that lasted until 2015. That's how they signed him to a 13-year
That's how
contract.
Confident they were of like, we're going to keep this train a-rolling.
They had to get one more.
The one thing we can count on into the next decade is that people will want Tony Hawk just as much every single year.
Nothing lasts that long. Like, no celebrity besides, like, Madonna, David Bowie, Michael Jackson.
Madonna sucks. Come on.
So I'm not a fan. I'm just saying.
She lost
she
it.
She was a present.
She has lasted. Give her credit.
All
right, look. But in 2002, they would have been prepping Tony Hawk 4. So that's like, because 3 was 2001, I recall. Jeez,
so that was like already the beginning.
Oh, no, wait, no, no. No, 3 was 2001, yes, yeah. Because I remember playing 3 on my GameCube in 2001.
When well, they would have been on Cloud 9 after 3. I could see them making such a ridiculous proposal.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Because like, they really did. They
game.
Got a freaking 10 from GameSpot, which was like the first 10 ever.
Well, if 3 made that much money, like that, even if they paid him like $500 million, like they still made a profit on 4. Like, so it doesn't.
See, I was all about Chad Muska in the first one. Then in 3 and no, it was in 4. I got
Spider-Man.
Turned on to Rodney Mullen. Yeah. And this is the dude that like invented the kickflip.
Oh yeah, he was the coolest.
He is so cool. And here's the thing. Here's what makes him great. He's humble. Like most skaters,
are
not
douchebags.
Most, but a lot of them are douchebags who are like, I'm the greatest. And he like is the greatest, but acts like he's just some guy. And he's like the pioneer of street skating.
He's like the good guy meme of skaters.
He basically is good guy Greg of the skating world.
Have you guys seen the documentary of Dogtown and Z-Boys is really good, but have you seen the...
I've not seen the movie.
The movie, Heath Ledger's the best part of it. It's not a great movie, but Heath Ledger's really awesome in it. Like, he's basically being the Joker, like, 2 years.
But with skateboard.
He was practicing.
And long hair.
All right, then one last news story was Kingdom Hearts 3 might be coming this year. Gorsh.
What?
According,
no way.
So the actor who plays Goofy said that he has completed his record, like just tweeted randomly that he had completed recording for
Goofy's gonna die in
for Kingdom Hearts 3
the opening of the game.
you finished the recording of the English voice track for Kingdom Hearts 3, and he said 2015. And then, like, people kept asking him, like, because this is huge news, and it's coming out in 2015. And people kept asking for clarification, like, you really mean 2015? Really? He's like, they tell me 2015. Like, he keeps confirming it. And
that's really...
Yeah.
I saw a comment about this. Someone was like, well, what seems more likely that Square Enix is lying to us about their production schedule, or this 60-year-old old man maybe forgot or mixed up his dates? I'm like, he's not 200 years old. He's not like losing his mind. He's 60. Yoda. That's not that old.
I think it's more likely that a guy who doesn't play video games and is just a voice actor is used to saying when he finishes something. And he's not used to embargoes on cartoons.
He's not used to it being a national secret.
Don't talk about this episode of Goof Troop until December.
And also that he's been doing it. I brought this up to you guys that, in case you don't know, Disney voice actors is a for-life deal. They don't hire you one at a time. They hire you basically, like, number one, it's an honor to be Goofy or to be Mickey Mouse. But the expectation is you will be him anytime they do anything. Like, and that's not just in cartoons. It's for things like if Goofy talks at the park, that is Goofy. Like, they don't want to they don't want to confuse children by having a different Goofy voice.
That's
so,
a really good deal because
that is,
you know,
a really good deal.
Voice actors, they work
bounced around
they
a
work
lot,
for
yeah.
like half an hour.
And
for
you have
like
no consistency
full productions.
Once your show's over, like, yeah. I hope I get cast on a new show. Yeah. Like,
you're always going
to
be looking
but what
for
if
the
you
next
grow
game?
To yeah. hate that character?
Mm. Well, you just need to count your blessings.
You better hope that doesn't happen then. Yeah. But,
actually,
well, also, you're done with it. So, if, like, it's like the Simpsons guys that, like, they get paid millions of dollars per episode, and they, like, in most cases, work like 2 hours a week during production time. Like, they don't do much.
And yeah. I mean, the alternative is something like Steve Bloom, because I saw him give a talk where someone asked him something about Cowboy Bebop, where he plays Spike Spiegel, and he said, "I can't answer that because I haven't seen all of Cowboy Bebop. He works too much. He cannot watch the actual things he's in. So that's the alternative."
That's the other crappy yeah. thing. I guess video game voice actors get like chump change compared to
sure.
any
oh, yeah.
other kind of voice.
Well, we don't have any money.
A different. Well, the difference there is unions. Like that, at least in American productions, most of them are on SAG and the Screen Actors Guild, which has minimums. And like you have to pay this much. Like I think that's also why so many Adult Swim shows have voices. The main characters are voiced by the writers of the show because they're like. Apparently that gets in through the not the union door or something. So like, well, I'll just do another goofy voice. Well, I'm this guy. Yeah. I'm this guy.
Where you'll have entire shows where the entire cast is voiced by the same person.
Well, the same two guys. Like that's how South Park does. Yeah, like they're South a non-union Park. Show. Like they've. But anywho, so yeah, it's the difference in unions and like one of the more depressing things with game voices I remember was with the Silent Hill when the Silent Hill HD remakes. So, like, Konami was just being cheap. They didn't want to pay the voice actors who did Silent Hill 2 and 3, but they didn't sign them to a deal that you could use their voices in another game
oh.
or a re-release. So they, like, well, we could renegotiate with these people and probably have to pay them more because from Konami's side, they're, like, kind of in a hostage situation. They're like, I own my voice. And you can't have this voice in your game that it has to have. So... wonder what I'll ask you to pay me.
They do.
So instead of giving them more money, Konami's like just recast all the roles, which does not work for an HD remake because you're playing it because you want the same experience.
Right.
And that definitely includes the guy who played the main character in Silent Hill 2. Mm-hmm. You don't want Troy Baker's voice. As good as Troy Baker oh. is, you don't want that.
As James Sunderland, not a good fit, I would say.
I would think I have to go back and listen to these voices because they give you the option to listen to the old voices, and that's what I did.
Well, because eventually they were, like, threatened enough with legal action that they, like, fine, we'll put it
so
in
there. So maybe I should go listen to this Troy Baker, James Sunderland. I'll probably
this
be like, this
Troy
is...
Troy Baker.
Be like, no more, no.
Well, and the... Yeah, I heard the comparison thing. And then people even, like, came out and said, like... why they there was a quote from one of the original voice actors of Silent Hill 2 saying like the first thing that gets cut in the budget is voice acting, and they know that like you'll either accept less money or not have a job, like, and that they can go to anybody else. Like, it's apparently a
that
bad
sucks.
Scene in video game voice acting. Though, if I may suggest, the Netflix film I Know That Voice about voice acting, mm-hmm. they have a whole segment on video games where they're actually, like, very positive about video games. They're like, this is the future of voice acting, or all these people are finding more jobs than they did before as voice actors.
Well, don't you remember Kiefer Sutherland?
Kiefer was all about
it. He was all about that at the
Game
VGAs.
Awards.
The Game Awards.
I think he was drunk.
Nothing about his speech Bold. Made him sound.
Kiefer Sutherland has a famous drinking problem. And
you just mocked it, Henry.
And
oh, my God.
If he's at this party or if he's at this event, free drinks are flowing.
Maybe, you know, maybe
know
he... Never mind.
Well, the first thing he said was like he was going to go off script with this story. Right?
Yeah.
He like came out there and was like, I'm just going to say what I want to
say. And Gina
like,
gave him the thumbs up from
yeah. Well, and he's like, I'm a big enough movie star that right. you're
you
not
going to freak all y'all.
I am what the biggest star in this room.
Though actually, this is
buy and sell you
this is a bit of a downer, but I actually was reading something where like video game voice actors were saying, well, now they're bringing in Hollywood actors, which is kind of a problem because they're in higher demand than us and they're starting to encroach and
that's unfair.
Pushing us out. And it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I liked about that Kiefer Sutherland thing was the first that he said he was going to tell us, like, he was like, let
he's
me
tell
the
story. Yeah.
And, like, in both cases, it's like, well, I'm not going to, I was with this famous person. I'm not going to say their name. And I was with this other famous person. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you who they were.
Right,
like,
right.
Why tell this story? Like, we want, like, make this story more interesting by.
In North Korea, or something. Story. He wasn't telling us who he was.
The
with.
Story would be like 10 times more interesting. He said, "I was talking to Tom Cruise about
right.
this.
I was talking to Putin, President Vladimir Putin."
And then
he
the other,
the tiger.
The yep. other funny thing was that he was directly followed by Tim Schafer, who was part of his thing was saying that just like there's not fake celebrities here talking about something, and that it's him up there. Right. I'm like. Kiefer Sutherland just talk.
Well, I thought Tim Schafer was off script when he did that. Like
Which
I thought
was real funny.
I thought he was making fun of Kiefer Sutherland.
There was
which,
another great the original.
Know.
Do you guys see the Broken Age thing they made for the?
Yes.
I love that moment where he goes like, "Well, it's halfway through and it's still pretty great." I mean, I think I got more than I even asked for with this half of this thing. Like,
when it was like halfway through the show. Yeah.
Funny behind the scenes story for that. And actually, Henry, you weren't here for this, so we were at the office at like what.
I was
eight at night.
Yeah, I
hit
it home and watched it from home. Yeah.
And then, so we were in the office and we were like, "Oh, this is from 6 to 8." So we're all good.
Was it 8? I thought it was like 9.
Well, this is the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ruined it. No, I'm kidding.
So
we're like, okay, it's almost over. And then they showed that thing, and it's like, we're halfway through the show. And we all went,
what? What? No.
Please, I want to go home to my family.
It wasn't truly halfway. I think
no.
it was more like two-thirds
yeah,
when they showed that.
We were like, it can't be.
You know what? The weirdest thing in that, I hope they get commercials next year, which is a weird thing to say. But if instead of commercials, they're just going to have like, well, we programmed this for a commercial break, but Jeff, why don't you talk?
They just show the DJ like,
and then they just shoot to Jeff, just filling time. Like, so yeah, I mean, we've got a whole lot more stuff coming, and like,
that was so awful when he was like, "And let's go to the." No, actually, hey, you want to come up here for a second?
Yeah, he's like, hey, you over there. No, don't walk away. Come over here and talk to me. Smile. Keep smiling. Keep smiling.
So,
I own the show.
So anyway, the goofy guy, I think he was telling us what he was told. I also don't think he'll be out in 2015. He'll get delayed. But I'm betting they did tell him 2015. And unlike some small-time voice actor, like he's not going to get punished. He's been goofy for close to 30 years now. They're not going to fire Goofy over this.
Like, don't you know who I am?
I imagine Disney, like, if Square's like, I don't want to use that guy's voice, Disney's like, you must use his voice.
Did you see when
there was... Disney is like the emperor from Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, there actually was a leaked Kingdom Hearts thing with a voice actor a couple years ago, too. I think it was... for Dream Drop Distance, it hadn't been officially announced for America yet, and... Then the guy who, the poor voice actor, like he was just celebrating that he was the new voice of Jiminy Cricket because the voice of Jiminy Cricket passed away and this was his first thing he was ever going to get to do as Jiminy Cricket, his new lifelong job as Jiminy Cricket. And he was like, it was in the recording booth and on the screen is like, I'm voicing Jiminy Cricket in Kingdom Hearts. I'm so excited.
Oh,
and it's clearly a scene from Kingdom Hearts. And like he deleted the tweet within a couple hours because it like he probably got an angry phone call.
Okay, I thought you were gonna say like yeah. he lost
fired.
The job.
No. That's how I thought this was
so
going.
Awful.
I was like, no.
But the poor guy, he must have felt so terrible. Like this was his first thing as Jiminy Cricket, and he just like
the first thing you must learn about Jiminy Cricket. You do not talk about Jiminy Cricket.
Little did he know the insanity that
of
is the video
social
game
media
pre-release world.
Well, Square Enix especially, or any Japanese company. Yes. Like leak something from a Japanese company, like oof, yeah. boy, your head's gonna roll.
I feel like if you yeah. explain to someone who like had no concept of video games how it works and what you can't say, I think their head would spin. I tried to explain it's the kinda Assassin's Creed Victory leak to my mother over the break. That did not go well.
It's kind of crazy how they pull these people in and they don't give them like this full
a primer.
Yeah, like. Wait, we get that.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
We get
they,
that.
They,
like,
don't
crazy.
Worry.
To sign paperwork.
Yeah, so somebody like, who's, I can't let you in. You have to sign this stack of papers before you
well,
get it. Don't talk about it. Remember,
more
don't talk about it.
Experienced guys are like, I bet Troy Baker like knows about games into 2020, but he can't yeah. talk. Like he's done the voice for him already.
Yeah,
he's
but he can't talk about him. Like he's probably done all the motion capture for Middle Earth 4, but he again he can't talk about it.
Right.
All right, we should take a break. No previews or reviews to talk about, but I bet I have a hunch we'll have a lot of previews to talk about next week. Mm. Wink. But until then, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, your answers to last week's question of the week and some talk about the most anticipated games of 2015. And we are back for the third and final segment with the community.
Community segment on Radio Radar. We read your stuff if it's good enough.
Do you laugh at that every time?
No, I was laughing at the laziest dancing I've ever seen.
Jan. Yeah, you and Jan work a little harder on the dancing. I just was bopping.
Lucas
my head.
Was literally shifting an inch to either side.
I had my arms going. I was doing this thing with the arms.
No, you were trying. This one was just
Ashley's just getting on my case.
I mean, what am I for?
All right, so last week's question of the week, and by last week I mean December 19th, question of the week was, what thing would you ask? What Christmas video game wish would you make to Santa Claus? Were he real?
Chris
or I mean, because
wow.
he is
Mr. Kringle.
Chris Kringle.
Kringle.
And we had a lot of good replies. Max, why don't you start off with
that? I would be happy to. Let's take a look here. So this comes courtesy of user EAC73. Thank you, user classification number
EAC73.
We wish, or my wish. Just the singular. Great start here. Love it. 2015. My wish would be to bring back the Capcom versus SNK series. Amen. Capcom versus SNK 2 is still one of my all-time favorite fighting games, and I really want to see the SNK guys do all the artwork because KOF 13 was beautiful. KOF 13 was and is a very beautiful fight.
Tell that to the 20,000 people that played it.
Oh! Or wouldn't it be the people who didn't?
Oh, everybody but the 20,000 people that
Available
played
Available now
it.
On Steam.
Have you ever poked around Falcoon's character design? He's like the... He's the guy.
Oh, is he their go-to?
He's the guy.
Iori is my main in those. I'm big man.
I like his... There was a kid in high school who wore pants like Iori's, where
have, like,
it had the belts
buckles,
crisscross
buckles?
Across the yeah. knees, and it's like you couldn't like ride a horse right now because you couldn't get
the
on.
The KOF guy, they got that swagger. Or they got that swagger.
Yeah,
I just like his maniacal laughing.
It's like you could not be nerdier than you are right now. It's great.
Gosh. I don't know who my favorite is. Flailing Kermit says, Dear Santa, could you please make James Cameron cancel all of his planned Avatar sequels just to make one awesome Halo movie?
But he's,
sincerely,
he's in
Flailing.
I sincerely.
The ocean. He's in the ocean.
So
right
how
now.
Many? There's, it's a trilogy, right? Avatar?
I think he's
yes.
making like three more. Like no, he's like doing two concurrently that'll come back in like
I mean,
they'll be in 50 million years.
Can we be real? When I saw that movie in 3D, I was like, holy crap, this is crazy.
I described yeah. that movie as the kind of thing I would like to play behind my fish tank.
So why? I mean, okay, if the first movie was like that crazy for 3D, effects in movies, why can't the second and third also be that kind of leap?
I'm sure they will, but hopefully they just won't be the ham-fisted
piece of garbage story. I don't think it will be that leap, but I also think that's why it's taken so long to make Avatar 2, because he worked on Avatar for a decade. Like, he made Titanic, took a few years off to go underwater, and then when he went back to films, he was like, I'm going to change filmmaking, which he did, but that took him a decade. So...
He's going under the ocean to raise the bar.
So yeah, he actually has it planned out to Avatar 4. Like he wants to make three films at once.
Good God,
Jesus.
Anyway, C.R. Knight says, "Dear Santa, I remember a time before internet connected consoles where games were finished.
Hope
there were no day one patches, faulty gameplay, or promised features still left unfulfilled." For Christmas this year, I wish games would be released as completed, polished, and on time. I'm sick of broken games.
I would contest the point that there was no faulty gameplay before day one patches, but it's the idea stands.
No. I mean, there would be like bugs that prevented you from
ever completing the game.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I like the sentiment. I agree with the sentiment.
They're literally going to film three Avatar films at once.
You are still on that.
That's just so crazy.
Henry,
to me.
No.
Like, three. I mean, I know it made $2 billion, but like three?
Gonna, 2 billion times three is a lot of moolah.
Jesus.
Into 2025.
I feel like the bloom will be off the rose by then. I mean, it already is. People were shitting on Avatar like 6 months after.
I was shitting on Avatar when I walked out of the theater.
You mean you didn't have that Avatar sickness where you got super sad because Pandora wasn't real?
I reminded myself. See, you know,
about that.
You remember that? You
right? People would like go see the movie like five times in the same day and be like,
Avatars.
I'm in another world.
Let's see. I reminded myself, oh, right. This is all based on shit that's on Earth. This is on Earth.
Why?
Calm down.
It's supposed to be so groundbreaking.
Because there was pretty graphics.
It was like the movie that showed that 3D could work in wide release.
Well, and that people had been doing like retro 3D or like just making a thing 3D after the fact. But he filmed it to be 3D.
Yes,
like he
that's right.
He thought of the entire film. He can see the entire film, every single shot, to make it the best in 3D it could possibly look. Like, I remember, like, I did drop my jaw at the opening scene where they're on the sleepy spaceship. When they wake them up, and like you can see the depth in it, like to the back of like all these people. Like, I mean, does it completely rip off Aliens and every other thing he's made? Like, yes, it's not original, but
that's fine.
I like how whenever I watch a 3D movie in the theater, I'm like amazed at the 3D for the first 10 minutes. And then like after that, I'm like, is this in 3D anymore? I can't even tell. Like, I was watching one of the Resident Evil movies of all things, and it was raining and the camera's facing downwards, like looking top view at this chick, and the rain's just going down. You could see the depth, and it's amazing.
Is that Resident Evil 5?
It was the one with Leon in it. The last one, I think.
All right. Was that the one that takes...
I watch all of these. I'm just going to tell you.
The last one I saw... The one I saw in 3D
Mila,
was...
Mia, Jova?
The one I saw in 3D was set in a jail. That was it. And like, at the beginning of it, it starts in a jail and then it goes to a boat. But in the beginning of it, also, Mila Jovovich's character, who became super... ultra powerful at the end of the previous film.
Yeah.
At the end of the previous film, she starts that film with the superpowers and then gets like Samus Metroid style.
I saw this one. Yeah. This is the only one I've seen. This was the one that had Wesker in it too. This was the Wesker movie where she just she came in with like an army of clones and you're like, oh shit, this is gonna be crazy.
Because they clearly gave her too many powers in the previous film.
They wrote themselves into a corner and were like, what if we just took some white out? Let's just not.
And they like kill Wesker 17 times in that movie.
Yeah. And he still comes back later. It's crazy.
Does he come back in the film after that? Because he gets atomized at the end of that film.
I don't think so. I think that was his final death.
Because then at the end of it, they then show Jill Valentine with her mind control brooch.
Yeah. Yeah, she has the little spider thingy on there.
Oh, crap. I remember that.
Man, It's such a great series of movies.
I also
the whole
it's so awesome.
The biggest action moment I remember from that is they're fighting the unkillable super being in the beginning that's been chasing her, mm-hmm. and like they're in the showers in the prison, and then like
right. and everything is in slow motion.
Well, everything is in slow motion, and the way she kills him is she shoots, she puts coins. They're these like indestructible gold coins, and puts them in her shotgun,
and she blasts
those at the guy, and his head explodes into the screen.
Yeah, and then in the next movie, she fights two of those dudes with Ada.
Isn't
the giant axe-wielding guys with the bags over their head, and they have nails in their head, like big train track nails.
They're not good movies, but they are fun.
Which was so the movie great. Where, like, someone, like, it's like, you can't kill me. It's like, yes, I can, and, like, dunks them under the water, and they get, like, attacked by all these zombies coming up from the bottom of the ocean. It's like, you'll never stop me!
That was what's-her-name from Fast Five. What's her name?
Michelle.
Michelle Rodriguez, because she was a zombie version of the
That's
special ops agent who was in the first movie. I know all of them.
All right, we should really move on to the next question. The next answer.
All right. Reasonable Fanboy says, Dear Gaming Santa, three words. Well, two and a number. Rock Band 4. The charm never wore out for me. My instruments did. I would love a next-gen version with new shiny hunks of plastic to lug around. Ooh. Honestly, I don't have any Christmas memories better than unwrapping Rock Band and spending the whole day playing with my family. I'd just like to have that again. Warmest regards.
Never again.
Here's the thing.
Never.
Yeah, like, you can't go back to that.
Never.
Like,
again.
This is like what me and Max were talking about in the car with TF2 servers,
right?
Where they exist and they're awesome, and anyone can join in, and then suddenly like it's just gone forever.
Yeah, one day
that's
you just
what
wake up.
Rock Band is like. I love playing the drums for Rock Band, and I really can't do that like at all unless I bring my 360 to my house in New Jersey, which I'm not gonna
You're
do.
Like, it's like a mania that has passed.
Yeah.
It really, and they're not going to make those again.
Yeah. It was
way
well,
to shit on reasonable fanboys.
It's a good wish.
Welcome to the real world 2015.
No, he can just play the Ubisoft one, Rocksmith.
Rocksmith. Yeah,
game
there's that.
Play that one.
I'm down with Amplitude.
It's just going to be all motion controls with the Kinect later. You just
as it
just
should
air,
be.
Air drums.
All right, well, I'm going to, because it was so heartwarming, I'm going to declare Reasonable Fanboy the winner of this week's Question of the Week.
As a consolation for us shitting on
it. So send an email to RadioRadar at GamesRadar.com to claim your prize. Tell us what systems you have, and we'll send some to you. So congrats. And you could win something by answering this week's Question of the Week, which is, what game are you most looking forward to in 2015? Now, this is related to the big feature that went up today, the 100 most anticipated of 2015, which we all kind of contributed to.
It's a melting pot of GR.
So since that's on your mind, like, what one game are you looking forward to the most this year? And you can even, like, think outside. You can even just say, like, Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Witcher 3, but that's obvious. So let me say this instead. And, like, but whatever. So
you just preempted Lorenzo.
I was going to
say. You just answered Lorenzo.
Who will say Witcher 3 first? Go.
I can start here because I know my answer. It's Overwatch, baby.
Oh.
Boom.
I'm so hyped for this game. And I think it's because
I've always loved
Blizzard, and I've always loved Team Fortress 2. And now they're kind of combining it with League of Legends, which I have a love-hate relationship with, and it looks so good. Like, it's just well-made. They've thought through every part of the character design. I haven't, like, played it.
The armored gorilla monkey
dude,
man.
He actually looks pretty good.
How can you hate on Winston?
When you get past the actual
I'm just shitting on this just for absolutely no reason. Just to make
I will say, I thought the one girl with the mech suit where it just kind of opens up and she starts shaking and shooting stuff. I'm like, that one's kind of dumb. But the rest of them are really
what?
Cool.
That one's dumb. Excuse you.
Hey.
That one's awesome. You. That's like the first. No, that's not
I
true
am
at
giving
all.
You literally
I was
every
say,
other
like,
one.
That's the first Egyptian female I've ever seen in a game.
I mean, the character's
no,
cool, but the suit's
Unreal
dumb.
Championship 2.
I'm sure there have been a lot of Egyptian women.
Civilization series, usually.
Well, yeah, if you just count Cleopatra. Yeah.
Lara Croft in the Temple of Osiris.
Oh, yes.
You ever heard of it?
I guess I got to get on my Egyptian female game here.
Top seven Egyptian contributions to games.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, Overwatch, if I'm not in that beta, this is what me and Thomas say. If we're not in the beta when it rolls around, what's the point of living?
Suicide immediately.
So murder-suicide pact?
No, we'll send a video to Blizzard. Like,
yeah. Of the murder-suicide.
We're going to blow our brains out if you don't put us in the
beta. Well,
or if you don't comply with the 24
hours. I bet somebody's done that.
You should
use
their...
If you don't change this balance, whatever, in World of Warcraft.
You don't change... If you don't change the end of Mass Effect 3...
You should use your power instead to be like, we're going to blacklist every Blizzard thing on this website. Like, they don't know you can't actually do that. Like, you don't have that ability.
Yeah, but they're like, you wouldn't dare.
They won't call your bluff. I don't know. And actually, Blizzard would just say, like, we don't care about any coverage. We sell
billions.
You're fine.
Like, they don't, like, it's rare that they don't, they are not very accommodating to press in general, usually, so.
But I do have some homies over there, so.
They're
they'll
not,
get
they're
you
not
what
my friends.
You need.
No, I'm kidding. all right. Anybody? Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. I have. I'm going to take your suggestion, Henry, and have two because this feels like the year of Lorenzo 2015. Because
a good year for you.
Because
yeah.
Zelda is coming out, and Zelda is
is
the series that I got into games for. Like, I just love the shit out of it, and that's why I buy a Nintendo.
And the
console.
Wii U Zelda is gonna looks to be a pretty big deal.
It looks freaking awesome. We'll see how it goes. I don't know.
Cray. Like,
yeah, it's massive. You can ride a horse. There's a horse in it.
Will go around the trees.
He will go around the trees.
Like Miyamoto says, because
Epona's
don't
smart.
Usually run into trees.
Yeah, it's the first truly HD game they've made, like to be HD. Like.
Yeah, and the world is much more massive than I actually thought they were gonna make it, and I'm really excited about all the slow mo. Action-y stuff they're adding.
The arrow, midair.
Horse
arrow
jumping.
Aiming.
Yeah, horse jumping and all that. But anyway, we really don't know anything about that game. And the other game that I'm super excited about that we also don't know anything about is Battlefront.
Star Wars Battlefront.
Cannot imagine, like, they've confirmed its end of this year, right?
It has
to
be.
They cannot not put out a Star Wars game around the release of The Force Awakens.
Yeah,
like
they
Star Wars will control all of our starting probably in like August. Star Wars will just be a part of our life, like our daily lives. It's like the new Star Wars information. Like
and it's gonna be a joyous time.
How can they have not shown like? Because all that exists right now.
I bet they're saving it for E3 or an event. There's like the maybe D23 or whatever kind of Star Wars event there is every year.
Yeah,
Disney
maybe.
Host.
I don't know. I don't know why they haven't put out any. They had the semi-unfinished in-game gameplay that they showed at E3 last year, which was just a guy flying around on a speeder bike in Endor or whatever. But
well, EA's press event last year was very odd of just like, they're like, here's Dragon Age, and now here's some stuff we're not done with yet.
Hey, got you interested. Can I say, Lucas, I find your lack of faith disturbing?
Yeah, seriously. Ooh. But yeah, they really can't skip out on, you know, like Henry said, putting a Star Wars game out around the new movie, because that's a big
throwing
thing.
Away money.
It's crazy.
I'm hoping we get a for real Force Awakens trailer with like Avengers or something in May, I would think.
Ooh.
But though I also kind of don't need to see any footage from it. Like
I don't want to know jack shit about the movie before I go and see it.
I would
just
love to
go
into Star Wars and only know like, okay, there's a ball droid and there's
and there's a stormtrooper
and
two
a girl.
Lightsabers that pop
who is saying that ball droid is actually a practical thing?
Effect.
Like somebody was driving around in the parking lot. It's not like CG. That's crazy.
Yeah,
I hear they're
what?
Doing. They're thinking to do a lot.
Well.
They wanted to go
it's
back to
practical
effects.
In general, JJ wants to do practical effects,
but it looked fake.
Well, maybe it's sweetened to practical effects.
Yeah.
Touch it up.
Okay, somebody else say something.
I think I'm also gonna do two because it's just it's looking like a really great year.
It's a real packed year.
It's true.
Our top 10 on. Go to the and check it out, the 100 most anticipated, to even find out, like, yes, there are literally 100 games coming out this year. And we had to keep, like, about a dozen other suggestions off the list. Like, though, who's really looking forward to Dragon Ball Xenoverse? But, but yeah, we could really fill it up with 100 things.
It wasn't that hard. But I think I think my two that I'm really looking forward to, Rise of the Tomb Raider. I know nothing about it except it has Lara Croft, and that's all I need to know. That's
Lara.
All I care about.
Lara.
I'll call her what I want. But yes, it's got her, and it's a nice continuation of the first game, which I loved, and I've been following the comic books, and I'm trying to read the novel. It's not that great, but I'm really like building up to it. I'm really looking forward to it. But what I'm also really looking forward to is Until Dawn.
Yeah,
it's just something.
Really?
I don't know. It's just, it's so willfully corny. Like, it's not corny in that it's trying to be serious and it's actually really crappy. It's like, no, this is ridiculous and we're just going to put it out there.
The
slasher movie.
Yeah,
the
this slasher. See, Henry, Lucas, and I saw a different version of that demo, like, after that had happened. And
well, no, we played it at that that Gamescom concurrent event that we went to.
And it was, like, with a different set of characters and different stuff was happening. And it was all, like, those horror movie tropes. Right. But I was still really into it. So
I think I'm looking forward to that because I think it'll be an unexpectedly great party game because you play it with, like, four other people and you're just like, right or left, which way do I go? Like, back or left? Like, oh, my God!
And the fun thing, too, just based on us playing it, I went around the entire place and found all of these little hidden things, like a camera that was hidden behind a box and like all
creepy.
This other stuff. I think I was watching you play it, Lucas, and you didn't find the same things I found. And it looked like there was actually a real difference between things happening. Like, you didn't find the scissors and my girl did find the scissors. So it's like, okay,
oh,
I'm interested to see how this works, too. So
because you use the scissors to defend yourself or not.
And then I guess that carries to later in the game. He'll be like limping around.
Well, because a butterfly appears. To be like, oh, you hit a butterfly effect.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be some dumb fun. At the very
one
least.
Cool thing, I didn't write the preview, so I didn't get to say it, but at the end of the demo, this is kind of a spoiler for a demo, so if they showed it in a demo, it's probably not that major, but be forewarned, at the end of it, the killer has captured a guy and a girl, and he gives the guy a gun, and he's like, you either got to shoot her or shoot yourself. So what's it going to be?
I'm going to shoot you.
And then she has a saw blade like coming down onto her head.
They both
slowly.
Have them.
They won't stop the saw
that's
blade
right,
that will
that's
kill
right.
both of them.
So one of them has to die.
Unless the guy shoots her or kills himself.
And you
and
have
he
like,
also just like professed his love to her.
Yeah, it's true. So basically it's like either kill her and spare her the pain or kill yourself and spare yourself.
Yeah.
Wait, spare her the pain. No, like you would kill her to save yourself. Like that. It,
oh,
it's a
that's
selfish
right. I
decision.
Thought it was actually going to come down either way. You're right. I missed.
Well, that's
the
thing.
Mistake.
Like, they give you a million years to decide mm-hmm. who it's going to be, but I just waited it out, and then turns out you can just be like, no, I'm not going to shoot anything, and then the
both
saw blade comes
die.
Down, and then they cut away. But
my
I heard
theory,
some screaming.
My theory is that that's a
screaming.
Fake out and that they are not like
because they did the girl in the towel is alive
if
in
I,
that part
if
of the
I may try to spoil the game for myself and the story. I think you'll see that this is a very PG-13 game so far where the killer doesn't kill anybody. He's walking around with a like gas canister he puts on people's faces to knock them out, seemingly to put them into death traps, but I think to put them into things that appear to be death traps. And it's actually somebody trying to teach them a lesson but not kill them.
Jigsaw.
So
I kind of like it.
And also because if that scene is this character dies, or both characters dies, that is such big changes to the game that it would add a ton of extra development onto it, and I don't think they have the resources for that. So
breaking it down.
So
I like
won.
It. I like it.
Henry's,
or
Henry's
those
Henry's
characters
smart guy.
Just like never it. Show up again until the very end of the game. Mm. Like either way.
Or it's like a 5-minute game. Where it's like,
they're all dead.
Over. Or it's like the way of the samurai games that are like 2 hours long, but you're supposed to play them like 30 times to see.
Yeah, those games are cool.
I will say I think this is fun to point out too. As I recall with that, Henry, when we were playing it, you had the guy shoot himself. Lucas let it go, and both of them died, air quotes. I had the guy shoot the girl, and you found out about that. You're like, what kind of monster are you?
Something that was...
All right, Max, what are you looking for?
Okay.
Oh,
wait,
no.
Wait,
say
wait,
it. All right.
No, tell the story. Tell the story right now.
Okay. I was just going to say, Virtue's Last Reward on the Vita did an interesting thing where you would get to a point, because you were in the same
spoilers,
kind of situation
I wanna play
where
game.
You're like trapped in a thing and there's a guy trying to kill you. You have to play a game and figure it out. You would get to a point where it's like, crap, there's a locked door and a laser beam's going to kill us. And what's the code to open the door? And you're all looking at each other. At no point were we ever shown a code to open this door. And then boom, the laser beam kills you and you die and you start over. But then you choose like a different path.
And then you're like, hey, I found this code written on a piece of paper. Does anybody know what it goes to? And everybody's like, no, we don't. But then you can go back to the door scene. And you can enter the code, and all the characters are like, what the fuck? How did you know the code to the door? I don't know. And then that, like, like the fact that you can replay the game ties into the actual plot of the game, and it becomes
zero.
That's really cool.
Really cool.
It's really cool. Really, what was this game? Sorry.
It's Virtue's Last Reward.
Though it is the sequel to 999, which trying to have to play both of them. They're from, the name of the franchise is Zero Escape.
That's right.
But if you don't want to bother playing it, you could actually, for like 99 cents, buy the virtual novel for your phone of 999 and just experience all the writing but not have to play it.
Ooh, awesome.
Well, because 999, I own it because, of course, I bought it. It's a niche Japanese game that came out on the DS. But it's hard to get on the DS. Virtue's Last Reward is a lot easier to get. It was on Vita and 3DS and was like actually a free game. It was one of the free Vita games at a certain point.
Oh, yeah.
But okay. I just thought it'd be interesting if Until Dawn played.
Okay, Max, we got to get to the end of this podcast.
Yes,
I
know. Here we go. I was just going to something, a game I've been following for a while now that I'm really excited for is a little indie game called Chroma Squad.
Oh.
That wasn't even
dang,
on our list.
I know all about that game.
Chroma Squad is a tactical, turn-based, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers simulator.
Ooh.
Awesome.
Which the conceit of the game is that you are on the set. It's not branded Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, but like...
Well, it's a Sentai show.
Yeah. It's like a group of superheroes, and they all kind of look like it. They fight monsters every week. But basically, yeah, it's top-down, turn-based. You fight, like, dudes who look like Putty Patrol people. And there's a different, like, dude in a monster suit. And, like, people will say their goofy lines, and then they'll talk about stuff behind the scenes. And you can, like, pick which actors you want to be the Red Ranger and the Blue Ranger. And they all have different stats. And you can customize your giant robot. And, like, oh, it's all this great stuff. And I got to play a little bit of it at PlayStation Experience at the end of last year. And I had a lot of fun.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Max, who's your favorite Power Ranger?
Ooh.
Of
Tommy.
Of
the first season. He's in the first season, he became a member of the team.
And he's the only Power Ranger that's still in Power Rangers. he's like a professor mentor.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I changed the channel to like, I was like, oh, what is the new Power Rangers like now? And he's a freaking professor at like their... college or high school.
That's amazing.
That guy knows he's got a job for life if he wants.
Oh yeah.
And he's in the MMA, right?
Yeah, and he's got the Green Ranger and White Ranger helmets like tattooed on his ribs.
Yeah,
it's awesome. He's the best.
That sounds great. All right. So my favorite, in my heart, I actually am really excited for Kirby and the Rainbow Curse because
sounds like Captain Toad all over again.
Well, it's the sequel I never thought I'd get. It's the sequel to the Kirby's Canvas Curse that was the first DS game that was actually any good, like where you draw the line that Kirby rolls down on. And now they're making a sequel for the Wii U, and it looks like claymation. And it's really cool. Or Yoshi's Woolly World, like those both are real cool looking handicraft. Games, but no, the number one for me is Persona 5. Like, Persona 4, I reviewed in 2009, and I thought, well, I look forward to in a few years we can play Persona 5 on the PS3.
No,
cut to 6 years later now. Like, they didn't announce Persona 5 until late 2013, and then no information on it. Then, like, on Labor Day in 2014, they're like, all right, we're going to put it out on the PS4, but it'll be 2015, not 2014. And now still it's like, what do you know about the game? Well, here's a 90-second cutscene. That's all you're going to know about it. Like,
red chairs.
But red chairs
with
chains.
At the very least, like, they put out 4 on the PS2 in 2009, which was like 3 years too late to put out a PS2 game in America. And I was sure they were going to do the same, and I have to keep my PS3 plugged in just to play Persona 5, so that now they're putting it out on the PS4, like, is the smart move I didn't think they'd make, because I figured they'd just be like, well, because the Atlas team likes to save money. That's why they re-released Persona 4 so many freaking times. So why make a next-gen game? But fortunately, they are doing it, so I cannot wait to play on PS4, and I think it'll be the a lot of people's introduction to Persona because...
I was going to say, do you think it can like be a breakout game like Far Cry 3 was for Far Cry?
I think Persona is on the verge of being a breakout as much as an RPG can be a breakout today, which is still not one. And and also, if it got more mainstream, like they'd lose the dumb stuff I like about it that makes it basically like a living anime series. Mm. Like, that's kind of what I love about it. The melodramatic stories, the day cycle, like going through your school days as a Japanese high schooler, like that's fun to me. That's why
not exactly not something that would play to the mainstream American audience, I don't think.
Hey, you never know.
They don't have any taste.
So yeah, I really
no
hope
argument there.
I think it will definitely come out in Japan this year by the fall. I do wonder if it will come out in America this year. Like
they probably won't even announce it.
Their localization can be kind of slow sometimes for Persona games, so we shall see.
But sounds like the wait is usually worth it with Atlus.
Oh, 100% is.
Yes.
But yeah, like say Persona Q, 6 months difference. Like that's how long it took. So we'll see if they have the same problem this time. But yeah, that's mine. So that question of the week. Answer what you're most looking forward to in 2015 game-wise in the comments for this week's episode on GamesRadar.com. So, you know, go there to that page.
I also want to plug the worst box art of 2014 article is up.
That doesn't even need to be plugged. It's too popular as it is.
Here's the thing, though. People sometimes, they don't like extra content. They want it focused. They want it narrow. So this is a lesson I will have learned for the future. But there's 50 pieces of what I think are pretty bad.
They're
pieces
pretty
of
bad.
I think you found good ones. Now, I mean, you've done this. I think this is your third one now,
this
right?
Is, yeah.
And
this is the hat trick.
As you were even saying, for the 2012 ones, it's just they don't make bad box art like they used to. Like people are. It's rarer.
It was the going away of the DS market that killed bad box art because they did not care at all.
Like, well, visually, obviously terrible box art. Now you got to find the little nuances of badness.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, people don't make B-level games anymore. They make AAA games, which they spend some money on an art budget for. Like,
or they just do digital distribution, but with no need for a box art because you just show a trailer instead.
Yeah, so... Though I did that Magus game, like, harkens back to the old days when people made, like, games of that size that are awful. But,
like, I actually did order it on Amazon for $10, so I think I'll have to play that on a stream
I
or
think
something.
That'll be a good stream one.
Oh, is that
stream
the one with the blurry wizard? And
yeah.
Yeah.
And then I looked at in-game screenshots.
Is he a wizard? I thought he was a
and
marine.
And it looks like a freaking, God, what's the word? Like a dev kit. Health
yes.
bar of
yes.
just like a number and then yes. a straight green line.
I love it so much.
Yeah, that was maybe Axis didn't need to publish that. Maybe they had some deal of like, you'll be sued if you don't publish this game.
Blackmail.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward
Speaking
to it.
Speaking of streaming, don't forget, guys, on Mondays at 4
double
Pacific
plug.
And
at 4.
Wednesdays at 3:30 Pacific on our Twitch stream. Every week,
be there.
Radars, check them out. We do a lot of fun stuff there, giveaways, all that.
Prizes on Wednesday.
All right, so I guess that's about it on this extra long episode. Hope you all enjoyed it and look forward to podcasting with you guys for a whole another year.
Woo!
And until next time, Radio Radar out!